This is Dane Findlay with InstantDane.tv, bringing you all kinds of useful, relevant, and interesting features about exploring the longevity lifestyle, quality of life, life extension. This is InstantDane.tv. Okay, so I'm here with Dan Finfer of Posthuman Era. And, you know, I like talking to Dan about longevity because while I'm more interested in the holistic side of things, herbs, supplements, exercise, Dan is really more fascinated by the technological side of things. So I thought you would enjoy picking his brain, as I do, about some of the recent events in technology and specifically how they may or may not relate to longevity. In fact, we were just chatting on the break. Dan was saying how, you know, living to be 100 now seems in many ways almost conservative.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking? What do you think is possible?
Well, the reason I say conservative to a 50-year estimate is because most people are going off the current model of human progress, and they don't factor in that the trend of progress we've been seeing is actually exponential growth. And that all basically stems down to Moore's Law. And Gordon Moore worked at Intel in the 60s, and he made this law that said computer power is going to double every 18 months. And basically, so far, he's been right.
You know what? Here's the thing. I totally believe what you just said, because I see evidence of that every day. It's okay, case in point, check this out. I'm going to sound like a complete science fiction nerd, but I am one, so whatever.
Yeah.
I watched this show called Warehouse 13.
Yeah.
And I was watching season one, and they have this, you know, it's supposed to be like this futuristic, you know, video communicator where you can, it's like a handheld device and, you know, you push these buttons and you can video talk, you know, across great distances.
Yeah.
And it blew, I was laughing out loud because, you know, that season is just a few years old or whatever, but it's already extremely dated because the iPhone 4 just came out.
Exactly.
And with the iPhone 4, what they call FaceTime, is it's not even an app that like you download and you have to sign into each time. I mean, it's just if you're on a phone call, you push a button and it switches you right to video conferencing. It's just part of the phone. So my point is, when you talk about exponential growth, I mean, I'm watching a futuristic science show from a couple seasons ago.
Yeah.
That's already dated.
Yeah, my favorite thing to point out in regards to that is YouTube. You know, in the year 1995, when we were all on AOL, you know, you've got mail.
Right.
You know, none of us could even fathom YouTube because we were on dial-up internet. And, you know, we didn't even comprehend the fact that you could send a video that large over the internet. And here we are, YouTube is now 5 years old. And we don't even know what's looming ahead of us because, you know, we're on this current iteration of the internet. And so I wanted to talk about the singularity, which, you know, this guy named Ray Kurzweil, who's been heralded by Bill Gates as one of the most, you know, on-point futurists of our time. You know, he's a millionaire several times over for inventing the first musical synthesizer keyboard.
Mm.
He's worked on speech recognition software. He's, you know, currently working with NASA and Google to fund this Singularity University. And basically, he says that within the next 10 to 20 years, as Moore's Law begins to pick up speed on the elbow of the exponential curve of the graph, these computers are going to be smarter than the human brain. And what that means is, for example, you know the video game The Sims?
Yes.
where, you know, you're controlling these little people and you kind of build empathy towards them, and but really they're just living in a virtual reality?
Yes.
Well, the people that developed The Sims were wondering, how big of a computer would it take to completely simulate the planet Earth? And they realized that the computer processing power required could be achieved within the next 10 years.
Wow.
Which means that, you know, I mean, this is a very out there theory, but the theory is that right now we could be living in a simulation of our future selves.
Okay, so it's getting all Matrix-like now.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so now, during the break, you had said, because we're talking about how technology could impact longevity, physical longevity for human beings. And you were saying something about Morgan Freeman?
Yeah, Morgan Freeman's been hosting this series called Through the Wormhole, where, you know, we've been exploring all these theories. And, you know, one of the main things that relates to human longevity, as computers shrink in size, if you could get a computer the size of, say, a red blood cell that, you know, you could inject into your bloodstream, that computer could basically float through your body, clear out, you know, fat clogging cells in arteries, repair nerve damage in your brain, you know, basically reverse aging by reprogramming your DNA to tell it, you know, to stop having malfunction codes. And, you know, and then also the computers would have internet. And so imagine having like a laptop computer in your brain that's hooked up to the internet.
So we could get those software updates.
Exactly. Not only have you just described immortality, but you've described mental telepathy.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that's the nano, right?
That's nanotechnology.
Yeah, nanotechnology, which we've been hearing about for, you know, over 10 years now.
Yeah.
And in fact, you were just saying a couple weeks ago, you were telling me about they just created artificial life for the first time.
Yeah, what they did was they took an organic cell and they made the DNA sequence on a computer and loaded it into the organic cell, and it booted up the organic cell like it was organic DNA. And so the thing about that is, we could program the cell to say, well, take oxygen molecules and convert them into carbon dioxide, or vice versa, you know?
Probably vice versa.
Exactly. But the scary thing is, you know, if you had a terrorist bioengineer, they could easily make a nano cell that would convert oxygen into cyanide or something like that.
Right. This is the shadow side of technology we're talking about now. In fact, you had mentioned that as soon as they created this artificial life, it was like the next week they funded an entirely new governmental agency.
Yeah, they actually hired the guy I just referenced before, Ray Kurzweil. He's spearheading a whole new Department of Homeland Security, which is, you know, biological defense and nanological defense.
Wow. Well, of course, you know, as a longevity enthusiast, I'm much more intrigued by, you know, the brighter side of technology. And I'm really looking forward to seeing, as you say, exponentially, the progress that will occur within the next 10 years. Dan, what's your website?
posthumanera.com.
Dan Finfer of Posthuman Era, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.